Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. 844-322-2742 is the number. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. January is Hope Month. We're talking about the hope that's bound up in this gospel message. And when we deliver the gospel message, we're delivering hope to people. And boy, that's exactly what folks need in the world today.
Absolutely.
I mean, there is so much just overwhelming stuff that just puts us in the pits. And we just want somebody to bring us hope. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. He is our hope. And so anytime that you tell somebody about Jesus, you are striking the chord of hope in their hearts. But hope defined is simply this. It's the desire of some good with an expectation of obtaining it. So we desire something good to happen, but that's coupled with an expectation that it's actually going to happen. And in Hebrews chapter 6, we see an example of this. When God made his promise to Abraham, this is verse 13 of chapter 6, book of Hebrews, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. So there was no one greater than God. There is no one greater than God. So God just simply made an oath to himself as the guarantee of this promise to Abraham, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So God delivered hope to Abraham through you. The world is going to be blessed. You're going to be the father of many nations. Well, that came true. And who delivered on that promise? God did.
Yes.
And that was the hope. And so he goes on and says, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his perfect purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. This desire of something good with an expectation of obtaining it rests entirely on the shoulders of God himself. He promised us eternal life. He delivers through Jesus. We don't have to enter into that as far as, hey, this is what we'll do if you'll do this. This is just God saying, I'm promising, I'm delivering. That's what God does. And that's why we can have hope and have encouragement. And so we may have this hope, or we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, who has entered on our behalf and has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So God promised, he declared an oath that he was going to deliver on that promise, and in Jesus he has done so. That's our hope, and it anchors our souls in this crazy, chaotic, confusing world that we live in. So you may be listening today, and you feel like you're just floating through life, that you're just being tossed to and fro by anything and everything that comes your way, and you're just looking for solid footing, something to anchor you. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ be that anchor. Let the oath that God confirmed by himself be the thing that holds you steady in the midst of the storm. And I guarantee you there's a lot of people listening going through storms today, and they can have an anchor. His name is Jesus.
Absolutely. That's basic gospel, everybody, and that is truth. We have plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a question you'd like to pose, if you have some topic you'd like to discuss, this is your best opportunity. So give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk with Peter listening to us on WMCA today. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good afternoon, brothers. I have a question. I don't know if I'm understanding. I don't have the Bible in front of me. I'm driving. Matthew 23, verses 5 through 11. Do you have it in front of you?
We can get there really quickly.
Can you get it? Yeah, I have my Bluetooth on, but I was reading it today, and, you know, I'm sort of confused on how to, you know, it's sort of...
Yeah, about somebody calling somebody father or rabbi or teacher.
Right. As Catholics, there's popes, there's cardinals, there's bishops. Protestants, we have the pastors, the reverends. So now it also says where we don't call no man teacher, only Christ is that, you know, like. So is it putting one, when you sort of put yourself above as a pastor, looking down upon someone? Or I'm not reading. I'm not praying on it, but I'm not seeing it right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Peter, as far as the body of Christ is concerned, and that's really what we have to be centered on is Jesus Christ and His body. And so all of us within the body of Christ are equal, aren't we? We're all saved exactly the same way. We're all given the same name, child of God. We all are bound together by this gospel of Jesus Christ and this new covenant in which we live. So there's no real separation between clergy and laity. In our human experience, we draw a line of division between the two. But that's based on human tradition. That's not based on the teaching of God. The teaching of God says that we're all equal in Christ.
Right. So, like, do you have to call somebody pastor, or, you know, as a title, or, you know what I mean, deacon, or not really?
No, I mean, they're just
dishonoring someone if you're pastor so and so, and I might have a problem with calling you pastor. I like to call you by your brother John or Paul. Or, you know, you're just, like you say, we're equal. Or some pastors might have a hard time with it because they have that title. You know what I mean?
Well, if pastors have a hard time with it, you know, there could be all sorts of reasons for that. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, we're supposed to submit to your... You know, this is where I'm getting confused. You have to submit.
Well, there are people that God gives to the body of Christ to help build up the body of Christ.
Right.
We certainly respect those people, but mm-hmm. in the end, they're brothers and sisters in Christ. They were saved in exactly the same way that you were. Certainly we respect the apostles. And that word apostle just simply means a sent one. There were the 12 and then the Apostle Paul, and they served a special purpose in the formation of the church. It was through them that God revealed the explanation of this gospel message. And it's on their teaching that was inspired by the Holy Spirit that we have a foundation for our faith and for our beliefs and for the life that we live in Christ Jesus. And certainly today there are gifts to the body, but still those gifts have been saved by grace just like you have. And so in the end, we're all just brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't think there's any disrespect by simply communicating that and calling one another a brother or sister in Christ.
I feel more comfortable that way. You know what I mean? Like I just feel, you know, but then again, I don't want to like dishonor but you know, if you call someone, you know what I'm saying? Like as a former Catholic, I don't call a priest if I see father, and I won't, you know.
Well, here's the good deal. You know, Jesus is the one that we're going to bow down and worship.
That's it.
Jesus
Amen.
Is the one that
that's
we worship today. He is
that's
our
it.
High priest. Amen. And he actually calls us his brothers. And here's the good news. We all are part of a new royal priesthood. we all are being used by God. We're all a part of His work in this world today. And each person has a function. As W.A. Criswell used to say years ago, there's one assignment that only you can do. No one else can do it. And God has equipped you to uniquely carry that out as a part of the priesthood of believers. So we all stand on equal footing at the foot of the cross. And that's that's truth.
Thank you for explaining.
You're welcome, Peter. Thanks for your call.
God bless you.
Thanks, Peter.
Yes, yes.
844-322-2742. Again, that's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we've talked about the importance of not falling behind in the month of January, as we normally do. And I wanted to kind of preface what we're going to talk about in just a couple of minutes by this question from Sharon, who writes to us from Fort Smith, Arkansas. It says, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. Since it is the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth to us, why are there so many different teachings on tithing that lead to confusion? Over 20 years ago, God used your ministry to teach me about tithing. Unfortunately, some have started using the book of Genesis, calling tithing a pre-law principle. So please expound on Abraham, Melchizedek, and Jacob.
Well, we can certainly do that. You know, the first time we see this idea of tithing is with Abraham. He has gone out to defeat some kings. He defeated them, and he took spoils.
Yes.
And as he is returning home, Melchizedek comes out and meets him, the Prince of Salem, and blesses him with bread and wine. And in response to that, Abraham, seeing that this Melchizedek is greater, he offers 10% of the spoils. Mm-hmm. And that's the deal. And so the writer of Hebrews uses that as an example to say that Jesus Christ is far superior than the Levitical priesthood.
Yes.
And so because Abraham blessed Melchizedek with these tithes, in essence, he was saying the Levites are blessing Jesus. Why? Because they're of the bloodline. Mm-hmm. The writer of Hebrews is saying the Levites are inferior to Jesus as the high priest.
Yes.
That's the point. Now we take all of that and say, see, you've got to tithe. You've got to give 10% just like Abraham did. Well, if you're going to say you have to give just like Abraham did, you know, you have to go out and win these spoils and war and that sort of thing. And then, you know, maybe Melchizedek will come out and mm-hmm. meet you, and then you can do that. The New Testament is very clear. We're to engage in the grace of giving. We are to allow the Spirit of God to move in our hearts so that we can do with these resources as He sees fit.
Yes.
So that can take all kinds of forms, can it, Richard?
Yes. I mean, think about the gifts you've been given, both monetary and your skills and abilities. You are uniquely positioned to serve the body of Christ and to serve the greater mission of Jesus in bringing the gospel to other people. You can do things that no one else can do. And how, you know, with the Holy Spirit living in you, how could you not let the Holy Spirit use you in those ways? But if I, as a church leader or some other kind of leader, put you under a law that says you must give so much money or so much time or so much something else, I've just taken all the joy out of your relationship with our organization and with the world around you. That can't be a blessing. Now, obviously, God works through it anyway and finds people and blesses them, but you and me have lost the blessing of giving through the Spirit, by the Spirit, through grace, by faith.
Absolutely.
It's actually kind of related to this question we first answered about, you know, who do you call Father and who do you call Rabbi? And when you look at that passage, Jesus was complaining to the rabbis themselves. You're the ones who are demanding that the rest of us call you certain things. We freely admit that you are teachers, right? You know this Mosaic covenant better than most. You can instruct us on that. But the fact that you are requiring us to call you certain titles means that you've raised yourself up. Well, if I as a pastor require you as a member of my church to pay me tithe, then I have raised myself up where I don't belong. And that's not right. Instead, let's do what the New Testament talks about, and this grace of giving just solves the whole thing.
Yes,
just
indeed.
Let the Spirit lead.
Yeah. Now, in the key chapters for the grace of giving are 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And mm-hmm. so I encourage our listeners to take a really solid look at those two chapters,
yes.
to read and to list out what Paul is saying as far as the attitudes that come along with the grace,
yes.
of giving. You will be surprised. And I think the key point to all of this is that God's Spirit is going to work this desire inside of you.
Yes.
So there's a law of giving that says you have to. All of us are under that if we're American citizens with our tax system.
Yes.
None of us pay taxes with joy in our heart. We try to do everything we can to get out of paying taxes. And for good reason. We need to, you know, redo our whole tax structure. And I hope somebody will have the guts to stand up and do something like that. But there's no joy in taxation.
No.
None whatsoever. But in giving, there is joy. Why? Because it's a work of God's Spirit in our lives. It's mm-hmm. God moving in our hearts. Renewing our minds, having a conversation with us about the resources that God has entrusted us with and how to steward those in the most effective and beneficial way, not only for ourselves, but for others around us. And so when somebody gives by the grace of giving, when they write the check, there's actually a smile on their face.
Yes.
There's actually joy in their heart. And when they hear a story of how that money was used to lead someone to Christ, to bring another person into the kingdom, they just explode with joy. It's like, wow, Lord, thank you for allowing me to have a part in that. The Macedonia Christians,
yes.
Paul put
about.
Forth as an example, he said that they wrote Paul and they chased after Paul,
yeah,
and said, how can we be involved?
Yeah, they begged him.
Yes,
to...
how can we serve? And
yeah.
out of their poverty, they made others rich in Christ.
Yes.
That is the grace of giving, and it's initiated by God. I think that's what we have to understand. A lot of times we want to say free will giving, and I understand that. It's
yeah.
just like we're making an independent decision. Well, what I find when people, you know, really start proclaiming free will, they're saying, well, I just don't want to give at all.
Yeah.
Well, you're not listening to the Spirit of God, because God so loved that he gave. That's who God is.
Right.
He's a giver.
Yes.
And if he's come to live inside of us, and he's conforming us to the very image of his son who gave his life, then we're going to become givers. Givers of our time, givers of our talents, givers of our skills, givers of our resources. That's just the natural byproduct of this relationship with Christ. Because he's a giver, we're going to become givers.
Yes.
And we're going to do so with joy. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God working that in us. That's called the grace of giving.
Yes, indeed. And tying into that, and as we've said so many times, Basic Gospel is, of course, dependent upon those of you who have heard this message and whose lives have been touched by the simple gospel. We need your help today so that we don't see that normal January drop-off of support. So we want to challenge you to stand with us as we proclaim Jesus and challenge you to be among the first to make a significant gift to Basic Gospel cheerfully, gladly, without compulsion, in this new year. This January, as we've said, must set the tone for this pivotal year and beyond. Will you go to your phone right now and call 844-412-2742? Speak with our operator. Make your most generous gift. That's 844-412-2742. Or will you go to your computer right now, log on to basicgospel.net, and click Donate on any page and make your most generous gift? Or can you, will you get out your checkbook right now, write the most generous gift you can, and mail it to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. That's Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75051. Can you, will you help with a gift today, right now? As I said, 2016 is going to be a very vital and pivotal year for Basic Gospel, and we want to be here next year, and with your faithful support, we will be here. But make that gift, if you possibly can, today, right now.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Tomorrow, we're going to resume our teaching edition. I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to start a brand new chapter out of our study guide, The New Covenant Journey. I think we're on into chapter 7, which is a chapter on law and grace, shadow and reality. And it really gets down to the issue of how we live the Christian life. And certainly hope is something that fuels and motivates how we live this Christian life. So we're going to pick up with that tomorrow. If you've been following along, be sure and join us tomorrow afternoon on the Basic Gospel Edition. If you haven't been following along on Tuesdays, go to basicgospel.net/teaching. Get caught up. Find out the resource that we're using. And come and join us tomorrow as we resume our study in the New Covenant Journey.
3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Central Time.
Yes, indeed. Let's go talk to our friend Brad in O'Fallon. Hi, Brad.
How y'all doing? I called in. I want to say one thing about Peter's inquiry, and this is why I find it so important to try to get a grasp on the New Testament readings from God's point of view. And just simply, if God is not a respecter of persons, then we should not be as believers. I mean, that's just who lives in us. He says, I'm not a respecter of persons. So from that point of view, everybody is where God puts us, and we're all on the same level. The other thing is, I wanted to talk about the blessedness that we're going through this month with the Word of Hope. And quite frankly, what's so wonderful about this ministry is every single need that the believer has, every solution to what the believer needs is in the gospel. When you look at the fruits of the Spirit, that's part of the gospel. And all those things answer problems that we have. Everything that the believer needs is in the gospel, and that's why it's so very important. I mean, I've heard pastors go into a 7 or 8 week teaching on how to control your anger when that answer is right in the gospel. And it's so very important that believers, above everything, they understand, and that is the story of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus's resurrection life. It's the answer to everything we need. Hope, faith, and love. Part of the gospel. So it's wonderful that this ministry is, the task that we've been given is to preach the gospel. And I just so appreciate every day that I listen to preaching of the gospel by Basic Gospel Ministries. And I just want to thank you.
Well, thank you, Brad. We certainly appreciate that. And that's why we exist, is simply to proclaim the gospel, and those who stand with us, you empower that proclamation to a world that's waiting and hurting. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for standing with us. This is the most important message that the world has ever heard, the world will ever know, the world will ever experience, and it's the message of Christ Jesus. He is our hope. He is our hope for here and now. He's our hope for the future. That's why we proclaim him. That's why there's no other name under heaven by which somebody can be saved. So as we started the program today with the definition of hope, it's the desire of some good with an expectation of obtaining it. God has promised and he has delivered in the person of Jesus Christ. So we have hope today in him.
Absolutely. And what a hope it is. You hear that each day on Basic Gospel, and we appreciate the fact that so many of you are out there listening and hearing and assimilating the truth that sets us free. And as we said just a few moments ago, don't forget that Basic Gospel is indeed a listener-supported broadcast. If Basic Gospel and what you've heard on Basic Gospel has made a difference in your life, we encourage you to join with us, become a partner with us to support the ongoing message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us get the word out. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Again, a reminder of that study edition tomorrow with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and for Bob and Richard and the entire ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.